Well, last week we looked at an interesting and an encouraging place where the Lord says that his word would not return to him empty or void. And we talked about how sometimes, you know, how your words can come back to you and you end up eating them, or they slap you, or you know, you realize that, well, I really couldn't do that, and maybe I shouldn't have said that, and I couldn't follow through, and therefore I should have kept. And those words can come back. And that may not be all that the figure of speech means, but when the Lord says his words will return to him and they will not come back empty, they will accomplish all that he sent it to do. We have a picture of this from the Lord's side about the word of God being sent out into this sinful world and the effectiveness of it. Now, we want to look at it now from man's side and how this works and blesses the sons of earth. Sons of God, if you will, and let's look at Psalm 119. Our place, it's a big psalm, so verse 130 is where we're going. Psalm 119, verse 130. And the psalmist, and it kind of sounds like David that had composed this. But the psalmist said, the unfolding of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. Now, does anyone have a different word besides unfolding? Entrance. Opening. Okay, that's good. Anyone else? This is one of those words that's a little bit tricky to translate, evidently. And so that you'll find it translated a different way. It's opening, entrance, unfolding. They all kind of sound like they mean about the same, don't they? In fact, they do. But as we say, this is man's testimony about the effectiveness of the Word of God, and looking at it, as it were, from our vantage point. He says, I'll read it again, the unfolding, the entrance, the opening of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. Now, three ideas present themselves, at least to me. It's what does it do? What does the Word of God do? For whom does it do this? And then how? How does it work in our lives? How does it move about? And how does it give that light? Okay. Well, what does it do? As it says, the unfolding of your words, it gives light. And I think I'm given to understand that out there in the back, we recently looked at, what was it, Psalm 119, verse 105? Let's see if I can find that, which says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. What a great thing to teach the kids, right? That this is the word of God. It shines upon our way. It guides us through life. It helps us in moments of perplexity or moments of darkness and we don't know what to do. Well, we have the full counsel of God right here before us. And so it is this to us. And following along in this same light, he says that the word of God gives light. It gives light. Well, this made me think a bit of what Paul said, that Jesus Christ is to us. God has made him to us, and he lists several things. And the first thing he says, even before he says he is made unto us righteousness, it says he is made unto us wisdom. Wisdom. Wisdom is knowledge that knows what to do. It's knowledge that rolls up its sleeves and gets busy. Wisdom is that which isn't just packed full of head knowledge. It sees it clearly enough to want to act upon it, and then it rises up to act. He is made unto us wisdom. Wisdom for what? To seek God, to find God, to turn from our sin, to be delivered from our iniquity, to have the gavel fall with the pronouncement, not guilty, right? As your name is read, oh, what a joy that is. Not guilty. Next. Bailiff, escort this man out to freedom. He is free. He is justified. That kind of thing, that it leads us in that direction. And of course, it leads us to Christ, because there is no way to God other through him. This is that wisdom that comes to us, and it brings us to the feet of Jesus, who in turn brings us to the throne of God. This is the light the Scripture gives to us. It opens the eye. Now listen to another verse. This is, if David wrote that, then this is his son, Solomon, who says over in Proverbs 6, the commandment is a lamp, and the teaching is light, and reproofs for discipline, which are often what we find in here, right? Those reproofs are the way of life. And what he's saying to his son, Solomon is saying to his son, is don't despise this when the word of God comes to you and counsels you and gives you light, and it brings up before you the ugly picture of your own iniquity, and it tells you repent, because it also holds up before you a merciful God. Or listen to what Simeon said. Now, I love this place, and I know you do too. When he'd been waiting all his life, and looking and hoping and longing, and somewhere along in his quiet time, the Lord said to him, you're not going to die until you've seen the Lord's anointed. What a thing to hear from God. You are going to see the Messiah. This is the whole reason that there was in Israel, that they could bring the Redeemer into the world. So he goes into the temple one day, and it says that he was in the Spirit, and when he was there, and suddenly this young couple comes in, and they have a baby in their arms to do what the law says you're supposed to do for every little baby, and so they bring him into the temple to do this. And there, Simeon sees him, and he knows the very one that he's looking at. And he goes, and he takes him into his arms, and he blesses God, and he says, Now, Lord, you are releasing your bondservant to depart in peace, just as you said, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples. You know what the next seven words are? A light of revelation to the Gentiles. And credit where credit's due. Dear old Simeon rises in spirit and emphasizes first that Jesus has come as light to the Gentiles, not just the glory of his people Israel, but light to people like you and me. Oh, thank God. If ever you get a broad overview of church history and you watch it percolating westward, and it gets over to Europe, and it does some wonderful things, and all of a sudden, because of political turmoil and religious upheaval, people start jumping over the ocean and landing here in America. And then the gospel runs. It runs like wildfire. And the kingdom of God advances. And if you see these things in church history, you think, and that's the word of God as a light of revelation to the Gentile peoples. We are no longer in darkness, and we're seeing this great light. Now, back to Psalm 119. The unfolding of your words gives light. And for whom does it do it? Well, he says here, it gives understanding to the simple. I don't think just the simple, because I can think of some very intellectual people that were Christians. I think of C.S. Lewis, I think of Francis Schaeffer, and there's an army of Paul. How about Paul the Apostle? Now there's a brain for you. He wasn't simple at all. But what is he saying here? It transcends intellect. It is not dependent upon the brain of a man. It comes down and can affect the most basic individual, the one with the least high school education, the one who has the most basic grasp of things, and can give to that one understanding. And this is encouraging if you think about Paul's statement there to the Corinthians that he called what? not many wise, not many noble, not many great. He called a few. Thank God for that. But the bulk of the church was made up of what? Slaves, indentured servants, the simple folk. This unfolding of God's word gives light to the simple. Now, he's going to tell us, in fact, he already has, back in verse 100, if you'd like to look back a page or so. And he sings there in that verse, I understand more than the aged. Why? Because I observed your precepts. The word of God has come to this man, and it's changed him and made him to have a better grasp of things, a better grasp than his teachers, the high priest, name the people that would be in the place of understanding or knowledge. And he says, I seem to have a greater grasp than even they. And why? Not, it's not my cleverness. No, he says, it's the word of God. It comes to the simple. Now, what did Jesus say? He was preaching and teaching as you follow his ministry in the Gospels. And there comes this very interesting moment. You can just almost see him looking up to heaven saying, Father, I thank you that you've kept these things from a certain group and revealed them to another certain group. And who did he have in mind? Who were these things hidden from? The wise, the intelligent, the learned, the uppity. And you've revealed them to babes. Meaning just young people, young in the faith, young, simple folk. And the word of God comes, and just this fisherman by the name of Simon says, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now that's a whole body of divinity right there. It is a whole theological grasp. John says, if you've got that, you've got the truth, and you've got, and you know who Jesus is, a proof that you are born above, from above. And he says, this is who you are. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Flesh and blood didn't teach you this, Jonah. Simon Bar-Jonah, Peter, son of Jonah, son of John. But my Father who is in heaven. And so the word of God is coming, is going forth, and it's not coming out back to him empty, because it's touching guys like Peter and John, and name some more. I mean, Matthew, over there in the tax booth. It's reaching these everyday, ordinary guys, just like you and just like me, and it's making them something more and above themselves, because God is speaking to them, and he's revealing light, and he's giving understanding, and there's perception of what God wants, and who God is, and who the Christ is, and what that means for us, and what God is doing with our sin, and how he's putting it away in Jesus, and all these glorious, wonderful things. And God gives light. Now, how does he do this? Well, the opening of thy word, the unfolding of thy word, the entrance of thy word. Let me just read to you or quote to you from a man by the name of Joseph Addison, who said, the clause does not refer to the mechanical opening of the book by the reader. He's not saying, in other words, and here's a visual demonstration, the opening of thy words gives light in a mechanical way. No, what is he saying? But he's referring to the spiritual opening of its true sense by divine illumination to the mind which naturally cannot discern it. Now, that's good enough to read again, so listen to this one more time. The clause does not refer to the mechanical opening of the book by the reader, but to the spiritual opening of its true sense by divine illumination to the mind which naturally cannot discern it. I have a map here, and it tells me how to get to Texarkana. But I'm at a loss. How do I get there? Well, the map shows the way. Well, what good does that do me? Well, just this is what I'm needing. I need my thumb at the moment. But look, it's been unfolded. It's been opened. There it is. You can see that road, can't you? You can. Well, you know how to get there. Or if you don't, you can come look. You can borrow my map later. But he's saying that when God does that for us, he takes the book that's already opened, that mechanically it's open and you're studying it, and what you need is the Spirit of God to start folding, unfolding, opening. What was the other word? Entering. Okay, think of light that's stopped by that door right there. And we need that door to be open and light to come flooding in and truth to come into us. We need the Spirit of God to open the heart of our door. Nope. The door of our hearts. We need him to unfold the mysteries for us. We need this thing to enter into us. We need that divine illumination. Certainly, this is what Paul meant when he prayed for the Ephesians, and he asked for them certain things. And one of the things he asked for them was just this, that they might have a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of God. And I think what Paul would say to them, maybe even to us, is, look, you can read a lot of stuff about God here. And you can know a lot of things about God, just like Eliphaz and Bildad and Zophar knew a lot of things about religion and about God. But we need spiritual illumination that we can grasp the meaning of it, right? That's what Job was suffering. I quoted three friends of Job that sat down and gave him all this great, great counsel that wasn't really applicable to his case. They thought it was. This is, everybody knows this, they said. Job knew it, he said. I know that, but that's not my situation. We need God to open our eyes. We need God to reveal the things to us. And this is why he says to us, it's not coming back to me empty. It's not coming back to me void. It's going to go forth, and I am going to accomplish through that all that I've sent it out to do. And we, on our end, we're reading all along, daily reading perhaps, and we're doing our portion. All of a sudden, a verse just leaps off the page and makes an incredible amount of discovery to us in our innermost being. And it's like opening the eye and being flooded with light. Ah, we see it. I mean, you've read the verse in Romans 13 over and again, right? Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh. You've read that, you read it, and you go on by. But one day, Augustine of Hippo just opens the book. It falls on that. He sees it, and it sets him free. Because the entrance of his words gives light, and it gives understanding to the simple. Well, bless God for this good thing, don't we? This, his own dear word right there in our lap. Let's pray.